Acts chapter number 7. I'd just like to look at for the next few minutes how God moves His work along. How God brings His will to pass. How the Lord intervenes in spite of all that Satan would throw at us. How God gets His work done. Because we have the promise that God is with us. And we have the promise that God, if we're submitted to the Lord, He will perform His will through us. And He will back us up and support us in spite of the opposition. Acts chapter number 7, I would just like to look at how God dealt with the nation of Israel, bringing them where He wanted them to be, so His will could come to pass and draw an application for us today. Acts chapter 7 and verse number 2. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan, and from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on, yet he promised that he would give it to him for possession and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. Let's pray. Our Father, I just pray that you would bless these few minutes that we have together. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray you would challenge us through your word. I pray that you would give us a burden, Lord, to reach those around us who may have never once heard the true gospel in clarity. Lord, I just pray that you would give your help and strength to do your will this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we have a man named Stephen. He's standing up there against a mob who is about to kill him. And he gives a testimony of how God brought the nation of Israel along in His plan to get them where He wanted them to be. I would like to see in verse number 5, God begins with a covenant. God begins with a covenant. It says He promised that He would give it to him. Now God's promises are never alone without a directive. So God gave the promise, this is what I'm going to do, and so now this is what I want you to do. And so God said, I will bless him that blesseth thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And what does he say? Get thee hence out of thy father's house and from thy kindred. And so when it comes to the Lord dealing with us, he gives us a promise. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. We have the promise that he is with us to the end of our lives. He is the promise that we are saved and sealed eternally and secure in Christ through the New Testament and the blood of that new covenant. And he has also given us a directive, Matthew chapter 28. So accompanying with the promise, we have a directive. So God told him to get out from the land that he was in and to go into the land which God would show him. He had to trust God that God would give him a seed. He had no child. His wife was barren. The land that God promised was inhabited by enemies. So he had to trust that God was going to do what he promised, and he had to obey. God's plan begins with a covenant and a directive. Now, if you will continue on in the chapter, it was God's will that they would be for 400 years in the land of Egypt. Sure. Now, that means in order for God's plan to be accomplished through the nation of Israel, they have to end up in Egypt. Right. So how does God do that? How does God perform His will to this nation? It began with a covenant and a directive. I want you to notice in verse 9, God furthered it through contention and division. Verse 9, and the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. Now they had no idea that they were helping to further God's plan. But if you see in verse 6, God had said to Abraham that his seed would sojourn in a strange land and they would be in evil bondage 400 years. Right. And so now, no doubt this was passed down from father to son to son. And so now, the children of Israel, the children of Jacob, they're not going to want to fulfill that plan of God. Right. So how can God get them to where they're going to be afflicted for 400 years? God didn't say, I want you, Jacob, to take your sons into Egypt, and there they're going to be afflicted and persecuted for 400 years. Right. God was working behind the scenes. Sure. And God used the contention and division of Joseph's brothers where they sold him into Egypt.
Right.
Joseph didn't realize that it was God's plan for him to go to Egypt, because God was sending him ahead to make up a bounty to where they would follow.
Right.
And so God furthered his work along with contention and family division.
Right.
Go to verse number 11. Now, Joseph is where God wants him to be.
Amen.
Joseph is in Egypt. Now, after being in prison and servant in Potiphar's house and in the dungeon for a number of years, now he is in the house of Pharaoh, and he is governor over all of Egypt. Now, Joseph is in the will of God.
Yes.
How does God get his brothers there? I see a calamity and destitution.
Right.
Verse 11, it says, "Now there came a dearth over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance."
Right.
They were not going to move to Egypt until they had no choice but to go.
Right.
And so now it is hurting their livelihood. It is hurting their profession. They have no choice but to go. It says, our fathers found no sustenance. It says, Jacob heard there was corn in Egypt. He sent there our fathers first.
Yes.
And so now through a calamity and destitution, God gets the children of Israel where he wants them to be.
Right.
Now in the famine, they didn't see that. They see a problem. They see a big problem that's insurmountable, and this is the only option they have.
Yes.
They don't realize that it is God's perfect will for them to be in Egypt at that time.
Good.
But now they get comfortable in Egypt.
Yeah.
Now they don't want to go back.
Right.
It's God's plan for them to go back at God's appointed time. How does God get them back into the land of Canaan, the land of promise, when the land of Egypt is so appealing to them? I see a conspiracy and despair. Verse 18, it says, "Till another king arose, which knew not Joseph, the same dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers. So they cast out their young children to the end, that they might not live." And so now they're getting uncomfortable in Egypt, and they begin to cry that God will send them a deliverer.
Yes.
Sometimes we get complacent, and the Lord has to do things into our lives, and we see it as a real problem. God is just getting us to where he wants us to be.
Good,
right. And so now we find a man named Moses.
Yes.
Moses, it says, when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him in, and he was nourished up in the house of Pharaoh, and he was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in words and deeds. How is God going to get Moses to where God wants him to be? It was in his heart. He somehow knew that God was going to lead him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, but he wasn't ready. And so we find God used a crime and spiritual defeat in the life of Moses to get him where God wanted him to be.
Right.
Now, you couldn't convince me that it was God's will for Moses to kill that Egyptian.
Right.
It was not God's will, but God used that to get Moses where God wanted him to be.
Right.
And so, God, he was not ready at this time to lead the children of Israel out. He was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. And so for 40 years education, God had to have him spend 40 years in the wilderness to unlearn all that he had learned.
Right.
To the point that where it says he was mighty in words and deeds. When the Lord speaks to Moses, he says, "Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant." So perhaps he was in denial of his gift of eloquence, or he was no longer learned in the wisdom of the Egyptians. He no longer felt himself able as he once did. He was now where God could use him, but God had used a crime and spiritual defeat in the life of Moses. And so now Moses is ready to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt into the land of promise. Now, when they were in those scenarios, they would never have guessed that God was going to use those things.
Right.
They were just simply going from place to place, step to step, having no clue what God was doing behind the scenes. But the point is, when God has made a promise, God is going to bring that promise to fruition.
Amen.
With or without us, one way or another. But God is going to bring his promise
Amen.
To pass.
Amen.
Go to Acts chapter 1, if you will. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. God's plan for the New Testament church began with a promise. "I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world."
Amen.
And a commission is given. Acts 1 verse 8, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So God gives them a fourfold plan. First, I want you to reach into Jerusalem. Then I want you to go into the surrounding area, Judea, and then a little farther, Samaria, and then unto the uttermost part of the earth. That's to the Gentiles.
Right.
Now, for the first part of the book of Acts, until Acts chapter number 8, we find them settled in Jerusalem and building that work up. And for that time, I believe it was God's plan at that time for them to be in Jerusalem building that work up. But there came a time where God wanted them to move on. There came a time when God wanted them to spread out. And how did God do that? Acts chapter 7, we find the death of Stephen. And Acts chapter 8, verse 1, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Verse 4, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching the word. Now, as they are going out preaching the word, as they are fleeing for their lives, they don't realize that they're fulfilling God's plan and purpose for them in carrying out the Great Commission. They're simply running from a man named Saul who's wanting to kill or imprison them. They don't realize that God is using Saul as a tool to get them where He wants them to be. They just simply see their problem. Acts chapter 9 and verse number 31. Where in Acts 8:1 it says, there was a great persecution against the church at Jerusalem. In 9:31 of Acts, it says, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Samaria and Galilee, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. So where there was one church, God has used persecution for there to be many churches.
Right.
Now there are many churches throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria. But that was not the end of God's directive.
Sure.
Acts chapter 11 and verse number 28. There stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world. Now God is using, as He did in the life of Joseph's family, God is using a famine to get them where He wants them to be. I want you to notice in verse 30. Well, verse 29, then the disciples determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. God had a special commission for Barnabas and Saul, and they didn't even know it at the moment. They are just simply realizing that there's going to be a great dearth, and they're carrying a gift of relief to the church at Jerusalem because they knew it was going to be a hard time. Paul didn't realize that God was using that to get him to Jerusalem, where God could get him where He wanted him to be.
Right.
Acts chapter 12 and verse 1, we don't realize, but at this time it seems that Paul is in Jerusalem when Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. So now the church is in Judea and Galilee and Samaria. They had fulfilled the commission up to that point, but now it was God's time to even go farther. Acts chapter 13 and verse 2. God used that persecution to get Saul back to Antioch, where he receives a commission. Verse 2, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. Verse 4, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And so from this point on, we find Paul primarily reaching into the regions beyond. Now, his approach was to the Jew first. He always went to the synagogue, preached to the Jews. When they rejected it, he went over to the Gentiles. But here God has moved Saul from Jerusalem to Antioch, where he has received the commission to go. Now, up to this point, we don't find where Saul had a burden for the remote regions, for the Gentiles.
Right.
We don't find it. Now, that was God's plan and purpose, but he did not even realize it.
Right. Good.
They're just simply sending relief because of a famine, fleeing for their life because of Herod, and now they receive the commission from God to go beyond where they had once gone before.
Amen.
They sailed to Cyprus. Acts chapter 13 and verse 45. When the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Paul and Barnabas said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken unto you, but seeing ye have put it from you, at the end of the verse, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And so God is using the rejection of those people to get Paul where he wants him to be. Now, I'm sure Paul was grieving at the rejection, and no doubt the Lord was grieving at the rejection, but God was using that rejection to get Paul pointed to reaching to the Gentiles. Acts chapter 15 and verse 1. Paul has completed his first missionary journey. Paul is back in Antioch. And now we find heresies. Men came from Judea and taught the brethren, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Now God is using a heresy to get Paul back in gear to go again on a journey and confirm the churches.
Right.
If he did not go and confirm the churches, many would have fallen away by this heresy. And so God is using this this heresy to get Paul back on the trail, back to those churches and confirming them. Because if you see in verse 31... verse 36, I'm sorry, of chapter 15, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word and see how they do. He was wanting to check up on them.
Right.
See whether they've succumbed to this false doctrine which had permeated the church at Jerusalem and was spreading through the churches of Judea and around. And so now they get a burden to go back on that second missionary journey, which it was God's will for them. They didn't realize that God was using that false doctrine to get Paul on fire to go again. Mm-hmm. Lastly, I want you to look at verse 39. It says, the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed. Verse 41, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches.
Yeah.
The Lord used the contention between Paul and Barnabas to get Paul where God wanted him to be.
Right.
Now, it was something very grievous at the time. These men loved each other, and Barnabas had discipled Paul through the early part of his life and ministry. Barnabas was... Paul's, they were so close, and now they're divided because of a contention and division. Now, no doubt they would have said that was of Satan. They did not realize that God was using that to send Barnabas to Cyprus, where they had first gone. That was the first place they sailed, to Cyprus. So Barnabas is going, confirming the churches in Cyprus, and Paul goes through Syria and Cilicia. And from there, we don't ever find them working together again. And really, Barnabas drops off the page. We don't know what happened to Barnabas or where he went.
Right.
But I have a suspicion that he was where God wanted him to be, which was in Cyprus. And where he went beyond that, I have no idea. Maybe there are some documents from back then that speak of Barnabas, and I'm not familiar with them. But the point was, God used spiritual defeat. God used contention in the family. God used famine. God used persecution to further His work along.
Yes.
Now we know God will bring His work to fruition,
right,
because it began with a promise.
Right. That's good.
And it says, He which hath begun a good work in you,
yes,
will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Now the question for you and for me is, God's will be accomplished.
Sure.
Is He going to use you? Or is He going to use someone else?
Wow.
How is God going to use you? Is it going to be through our mistakes?
Right.
Or is it going to be through our right choices?
Good.
You know, I think maybe if they were more sensitive to the Lord,
right,
maybe the Lord wouldn't have had to use persecution.
Right.
But we get comfortable.
Right.
We get complacent.
Right.
We don't want to move. And so then God has to do these things or allow these things in order to bring us along on the journey. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, I thank You for this day which You've given. I thank You for this opportunity to preach Your word. I pray that You would challenge our hearts through it. I pray that Your will would be done in each of our lives. Lord, I pray that we would be sensitive to Your leading. Lord, that You'd help us. Help us to thank You and to realize that all things work together for good.
Yes.
To them that love God, to them who are called according to your purpose, Lord.
Lord.
And Lord, I just pray that you would use us for your honor and glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.